Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. We thank you. You have a plan and a purpose for them, and they will fulfill that plan and purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And Father, we thank you that we'll take the word of the Lord and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and to find people who are down and out and share the love of Jesus with the lost and dying world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation, revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And Father, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you as we minister today that they not see me ministering, but they see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most importantly, we thank you, Father, for the anointing that's here, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that's here tonight, and we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. I'm loving this February weather. I know some people like it cold. I say move, go north. All right. I mean, you like it cold, just move north. And my wife reminded me that some of our biggest snowfalls have been in March. But I said, get behind me, Satan. I don't know. I mean, I like this kind of weather. I mean, that's a lot of times in the wintertime, I go to Brazil, and it's really nice to see all the Christmas lights and the palm trees, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It gets me in the mood for Christmas. All right. You know, I don't mind it being warm in the winter. Now, in Brazil, some of you might not know, it's opposite weather. So in our winters, they're summer. And so it's really funny when I talk, not funny, but interesting talking to some of the people there said, yeah, it's in December, right before Christmas, said, yeah, we're fixing, our kids are off for summer break. So we're going to go, you know, going to go on vacation in the summertime. I'm thinking, summer break is the middle of the winter, but not there. So anyway, well, I was already going to minister on the subject of joy today, tonight. But this morning at the Church Broken Arrow, during our offertory song, they sang a song, Jesus is the center of my joy. It's a good song. Anyone ever heard the song? It's a good song. But I started thinking about that, about Jesus being the center of my joy. But, you know, he can't be the center of your joy if he's not the center of your life. Amen. And that's one of the issues is we have to make Jesus the center of our life. In order to have the joy of the Lord, we have to make him the center of our life. Everything in our life should revolve around Jesus. And a lot of times people, you know, they want Jesus to be the center of their joy, but they're not centered around him. And so one thing that we need to always do in order to have that joy is make sure that Jesus is the center of my world. All right? Not you're the center. Jesus is the center. It's not really about you. It's about what he's done for you. Anyway, but if you want to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah 8, probably the only scripture you know in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8:10. And you can all quote it because a lot of you do. But Nehemiah 8:10, actually at the last sentence of the verse, of the last half of the verse, says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I've heard people quote that all the time. Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength, brother, and things like that. But interesting part about it is most people do not say, the first part says, do not sorrow. See, you know, the thing is, don't be afraid, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, through him, you can get through it. But we have to actually, you know, the joy of the Lord doesn't say the joy that you of natural man. It says the joy of the Lord. That means we have to not think of things the way we perceive things, but think of things, you know, the way he perceives things. And so a lot of times we look at situations and we're like, how am I going to make it? What, you know, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And that's why you have to put your strength in him. See, let him be your strength. And if he's your strength, then you can have joy in the middle of a bad situation. There was many times in life that naturally I don't necessarily know what I'm going to do. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I trust in my God. I trust God that he's going to work it out for me. And when he does, I can be joyful because I don't have to, you know, be all upset. But, you know, so many times we talk about the joy of the Lord, talking about being joyful. But so many times we ourselves, and I'm not picking on anyone, I'm just saying that we, not just Christians, but Christians, non-Christians, we complain quite a bit. I found out there's people who complain don't have joy. You know, and I get it. Well, sometimes we say, well, I'm not complaining. I'm speaking the obvious. You know, my head hurts. This hurts. I'm tired. This, you know, all these things that throughout the day, you know, some people wake up on Monday and say, well, it's another blue Monday. Well, you can have whatever you say you can have. You know, and a lot of times we wonder why we don't have any joy and why we can't see the joy of the Lord around us. It's because we're constantly complaining. We're not thinking about how God sees the situation. We're not thinking about, all we're thinking about is our own self. But see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not you know, it's not the joy of ourself. They say, well, you know, it's just another day, you know, it's just, but you know, we should decide, you know what, we're going to make it. You know, and I actually, in my life, I have a great attitude. You know, I always say, you know what, it'll be okay. It'll all be okay. I mean, there's many times I've had to tell myself, it's all going to be okay. Now, did I get that from anywhere specific? Did God, you know, hit me on top of the head and tell me that? No, it's just got that freedom in the word. It's going to be okay. All right. You know, it's interesting that a lot of times we put more stock in the devil than we do Jesus. You know, and I understand, you know, you have to understand that, well, I've quoted it many, many times, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anything that's coming against you, that's stealing from you, killing you, destroying your life, didn't come from Jesus. All right? So it comes from the devil, comes from the devil. So we put more trust in that we're going to have a crummy day, we're going to have a crummy year, we're going to have a, you know, crummy time than we do that, you know what, we can have a good time if we look at things, you know, we have to renew our minds like the Bible says and think not how we think, but think how he thinks. You know, over in Isaiah, it says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And what the Bible was saying is that the way I see things are different than the way you see things. But when we renew our mind and think like Jesus, and, you know, we think how Jesus thought that, you know, and does think today, that it's no big deal. Do you understand your problems are no big deal to God? And most of us, we all know it's you know, well, that would be no big deal because, I mean, you know, he's, you know, he can do anything, but so can you through his son, Jesus Christ. See, we don't understand the power we possess. And when we do, you know, sometimes, you know, it'll put a smile on your face when you think about how good Jesus is and what he's already done for you. And, you know, and a lot of times we have to, you know, maybe I'm different. I pump my own self up. You know, and I know many, many people, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying I put myself up. I go to the scriptures, you know, or I know scriptures. I can quote scriptures. I don't have to put somebody's tape on or anything because I know what the scripture says. And that's the one thing my grandfather always has said many times is the number one reason why people do not receive what they need to from the Lord is they don't know the word. That's why he said he was always a stickler for the word. You have to know the word, you know, and I don't know how many times that I've been talking with quote unquote Christians, you know, and they'll tell me what brother so-and-so says in their book. And I don't, you know, that's good. I mean, you know, a lot of people have good thoughts or whatever, but I'm really wanting to know what did the Bible say? You know, and, you know, I get that, you know, brother so-and-so is interpreting the Bible, but do you even know where the scripture is? Do you know even what scripture he was talking about or anything like that? I mean, you know, I think if we would put as much interest in the Bible as we do what this certain minister says, then it would be really important. That's why most of my sermons are pretty much just scriptures. We take a scripture and talk about it. And it's you know, I don't put a lot of them, I might tell you a funny story, but it has sometimes had nothing to do with the Bible. It just has something to do with my thought life whenever I was telling you the story. But the thing about it is, I don't know how many times that I've had to just talk myself, and make myself joyful when I didn't feel very joyful. Didn't feel like I was, really happy. I mean, at this time last year, I was laying in a hospital bed, trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And sometimes you don't feel joyful in that situation. But see, even in the middle of, sitting in the hospital bed and trying to figure out what's wrong with me, because they didn't know at that point in time, I still was okay because my trust was in God. Amen. All right? I still could keep my joy. I could still keep my sense of humor, because I always have a sense of humor. I try to make humor out of everything, even whenever it's maybe not as humorous, or maybe I'm not that funny anyway, so people laugh anyway because I'm not that funny, and I laugh at my own jokes. So, but I mean, this thing about the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, most of us can quote that scripture, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe the joy of the Lord? See, I quote the scripture, and the thing is, not to be able to quote the scripture whenever everything's good, quote the scripture when everything's bad. Amen. I know a guy, he broke his leg, doing something stupid or whatever. He was messing around and fell down. I mean, he wasn't, didn't mean to break his leg, but fell down and broke his leg. But you know what? He kept the joy anyway. It didn't matter. He was still happy. He wasn't happy. He broke his leg. But you know what? It's okay. They say hallelujah anyhow. It doesn't matter. I mean, things can't stop you. And, nothing can stop you if you know who you're living for. If Jesus really is the center of your world. I mean, I never saw, in reading the Gospels and seeing Jesus, he never faced things he didn't have an answer for. He always knew what to do because he knew what the word said. And when the devil tried to tempt him, he came back with what the word says, for it's written. He knew the word. Now, that's an example for us to know what the word says. And I'm not saying you have to know every scripture, all right? But that's one thing about the Holy Ghost. I mean, he'll actually bring things back to your remembrance that you don't even remember that you even knew sometimes. Or scriptures that you haven't heard or quoted in a long time. I mean, he'll bring those back to your remembrance. But the one scripture you don't need to quote is that joy comes in the morning. All right? It's already here. All right? Some people say, well, brothers, joy comes in the morning. I was joking about it. I said, I'm preaching on joy, but I lost mine. I had it this morning, but then I lost it. But tomorrow morning, I'll get some more joy again. But a lot of people, it's interesting. They have joy in the Lord, but their whole joy, you talk to them and they're pretty miserable. But their joy is, well, one fine day, soon and very soon, we're going to leave this place and we're going to be happy. All right? It's almost like, sometime it'll be morning. But, and my always thought is, it's morning somewhere anyway. So, And really, what's interesting is I talk about Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight, but midnight doesn't last for eternity. You realize midnight actually only lasts for a nanosecond or whatever. I mean, then it's after midnight, but some people want to have their midnight all night long. There are moments. There are going to be seconds. There are going to be things that happen that for a second or two, or maybe a little longer than a second, you lose your joy and you get out of God's perspective and you start thinking about how in the natural. You start thinking, we're all natural people. We start thinking about how things are natural. But at some point in time, in the middle of that second or moment or whatever, you have to remember what God's word says. And you have to remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can stand strong even when you don't know how you're going to be strong. Amen. You just do it. Just like Nike says, just do it. Well, how do you do it? Well, because Jesus is the center of your life. And I renew my mind. I don't look at the way man sees. I know the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. That with God, all things are possible. Only believe. And that's the deal. What do you believe? Do you really believe that you can have joy in the middle of unrest? And, and the thing about it is, we actually have it pretty good here, even though sometimes, you're thinking about, all the stuff that goes on. But, we don't live in the middle of a war zone. I mean, you know, there are some missionary friends that I know that live in the middle of a war zone that you don't know a car bomb might go off. And I understand. I mean, things do happen here in the United States of America. I get it. Sometimes, you know, we have bad people do bad things. And that's why we have to be led by the Spirit of God sometimes. Well, all the time, actually, not just sometimes. But sometimes we don't need to be at certain situations or certain places. And that's why if you have a check, don't go. I mean, a check, I don't mean they're giving you a check. Something says don't go, don't go. I'm right here in Oklahoma City. I know a number of people, a handful, not a number, but handful of people that morning they had checks about going to that building that morning. I know some went and they perished. Some didn't and they didn't perish. You know, and I sometimes see what happens that was 1994. I mean, you know, years go by and we forget about those kind of things. You know, I mean, obviously that was a big thing. To this day, I've never visited a memorial. I've drove by it like 3 or 4 times, you know, with maybe plans to visit. I still haven't visited because it was that impactful for me when that happened. Because, I mean, it kind of, you know, just, you know, I know that things like 9/11 happened, things like that. But, you don't realize that right there in your own area that something like that could happen. I mean, you know, and sometimes we don't understand. But think about if you lived in the middle of a war zone or the middle of a country that you know, all these things going on. I mean, we have it pretty easy, pretty good. You know, I mean, I get it. Things happen, you know, shootouts happen and, you know, drive-bys and all that kind of stuff, but we don't have to worry about it like they do in some countries. You know, in Brazil, there's a law that after 10 o'clock, you do not, you know, a red light just means yield. You don't have to stop because sometimes, you know, I mean, as long as there's another car coming. Now, if you're in the middle of a big city, yeah, you got. But if you're places where, you know, there's no other, you know, you're allowed to just keep going. So you don't even have to slow. I mean, you just slow down and look. And I'm like, because one day I was there and after church, and we were just like flying through like 5 red lights. Finally, I told the guy that was driving, I said, Is there something that I don't know? I mean, do we have some kind of diplomatic place that we can just like buzz through these lights like that? Because, oh, you don't have to stop. I mean, I don't think the guy was yielding. I think he was just going. I mean, it was like, and so I had to get used to it after a while because it was like, you know, and there were some places that I understand why, but there were some places. I mean, I know we were in Rio and it was kind of a nice area or whatever. He's just buzzing through the light something. He goes, yeah, it's 10:30, so we don't have to stop. So I'm like, but because of the carjackings and stuff like that happened, you know, and things like that. So, but Brazil is really a pretty safe place. I know many people are, you know, when I go there, they're like, how safe is it? I said, well, let's just put it this way. I feel safer in Rio walking around than I do in Miami. So, those things happen. Yeah. But I just don't show up at places that things happen. So, you know, anyway, but I mean, you know, we can have joy even when nobody else does. And see, a lot of times our joy is not dependent upon the Lord. Our joy is dependent upon everybody else around about us. I found out, you know, and that's one thing too, you know, as you're growing up, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of you are past this stage or whatever. When you're picking your roommate, man, you don't want to be around someone that, you know, room with someone that was always down all the time, because it's hard to be happy, you know. In the same way, when I see people that are married, you know, their husband or wife, one of them's always having a bad attitude. It's hard to be joyful if somebody else around about you has a bad attitude. You know, and that's, you know, attitudes are really contagious. A few more scriptures about joy. I mean, all of them, you can probably quote them, but, you know, we'll look at it at a few more. I'm looking at all my things that I highlighted. All right. Well, most of you, a lot of people quote this one, Psalms 118:24. A lot of people, they'll quote it. Every morning, it says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you realize that rejoice means rejoin, having more joy. All right, that's what rejoice means. Rejoice means, you know, and sometimes what I actually think about is, when I think about rejoice, and many people have different things, but you know, and maybe it's been a long time you know, in your own life, but a lot of times, you know, I watch it, you know, altar calls or whatever, and you see people that change their life, and you see people how excited they get now that they're living for Jesus. And that's what I think about rejoice, going back to how you felt the moment that you found your Savior. You know, how you felt, how it was awesome, how you were one way. Now, obviously, some of you like me and got saved at a young age, you probably don't, I mean, it wasn't like you were like, you know, a drug dealer or something like that, and then all of a sudden changed your life. But, you know, I watch people, how they change life. I watch them, how they get so excited about the things of God. And that's what I think about rejoice, is going back to that feeling that you had whenever you first accepted Jesus. You know, but it says, this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, and I know many people that quote this in the morning time when they wake up. And a lot of people use this scripture, you know, but then 3 minutes later, they're griping about the day that they have. Or at the end of the day, oh, that was a tough one today. Oh, man, I sure don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's going to be worse. And, you know, people have those, you know, I'm not saying you do, but I've heard people say these kind of things. And I'm thinking, so you're talking about the joy of the Lord, your strength and all this kind of stuff and how you're going to rejoice. And you're talking about how bad it is. I see what the scripture says is this is a great day. The fact that you woke up means it's a great day. For some of you, the fact that you can get out of bed means it's a great day. The fact that you can walk around means it's a great day. The fact that, you know, that you can go outside means it's a great day. You know, a lot of times, we take things for granted. You know, a lot of people would like to get out of bed. A lot of people would like to be able to walk around. A lot of people would like to have freedom to go outside or whatever. You know, but this is a great day. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, being glad in it is being glad in whatever happens that day. I'm going to be happy anyhow. I mean, it doesn't matter if three people cut you off on the way to work, you know, traffic's terrible or whatever. You know, I mean, don't let those trivial situations ruin your day. Do you realize in the morning time, when we wake up in the morning, how we prepare for our day a lot of times determines how our day is. I mean, if you wake up in the morning and you have a fight with your husband or wife or a fight with your kids or whatever, and then you go to work, you already feel crummy because you already just, you know, just lamb-blasted your whole family before you got to work. And then you had to go to work. And your boss was an idiot and all this kind of stuff. You know, a lot of times we lose our joy throughout the day. So if joy does come in the morning, you lose it, you know, a few hours later, a few moments later. And a lot of times, you know, it's interesting because once again, I try to quote the scripture when things are, you're having just one of those days, you know, think about, I mean, this is the day of the Lord's around, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, but I'm having one of those days. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, yeah, but it's a bad day. No, there's not a bad day. There's just a bad time sometimes. I mean, you know, that's because the devil is real. He's out to destroy my day. You know, think about this. I mean, the devil's, he delights in destroying your day. He delights in you having a bad day. He delights in that kind of stuff. But we should delight in the Lord. We should make the Lord the center of our life. Amen. So he can be the center of our joy and understand that we can have joy. You know, even though, and a lot of times, you know, I found that we do a lot of trivial things that we think mean a whole lot of the time, but it really means, you know, a hill of beans when it comes, you know, put things in perspective. You know, a lot of times that we make ourselves miserable. And, you know, I've heard people, well, I'm just miserable. Well, why are you miserable? See, that's the thing. You need to determine what in life is making you miserable and make some changes. Well, what's making you miserable is you don't realize that what Jesus has already done for you. You don't realize that you don't have to be miserable. You don't realize that it's not his will for you to be sick. It's not his will for you to be poor. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's his will. I mean, that's why I can rejoice. That's why I can be glad, but because I can put my trust in God. You know, and a lot of times, I mean, you know, what we're trying to do is we read these scriptures and we're trying to put our own, we're trying to make it happen. So it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It doesn't say my joy is my strength. And, you know, there are times when you have joyful times in life. You know, different things happen and you're real happy about it. But that's not my strength. You know, life is up and down sometimes. I mean, you know, sometimes you have joyful times. Sometimes there's bad times. But, you know, it's just like when someone passes away and, It's a tough time. You know, but the thing about it is, if they're a born-again Christian, you know where they're at. And you know, and especially, you know, it's when someone's lived a long life, you know, especially if they were suffering for a lot of times, you know, at the end of their life, or I've gone through a number of situations with people who they're, you know, you talk to them and say, I'm so sorry about your dad dying. He said, you know, like, you know, well, you know, it's okay because he'd been living with dementia. He didn't even know where he was. He didn't know. It was a lot of times more a burden on them, although they loved their father. They loved, you know, and sometimes, but, you know, perspective in life. You know, a lot of times, you know, we do miss our relatives. I mean, I get that. But the Bible says to depart is far better. You know, a lot of times the reason we're selfish because, you know, they have it far better. In fact, it's interesting because you hear stories where people, you know, died and had an out-of-body experience and they came back. And I have not found one that said, I just wanted to come back. You know. Except for my grandfather's parents when he died and went to hell. I mean, then he wanted to come back. But I've never heard of parents where someone died and went to heaven. In fact, you know, and some of these people are people who had kids. I mean, they had grandkids. And you're thinking, what, I mean, you know, because, I mean, being a father and a grandfather, I mean, you think about, you know, I would think, man, I want to be here, watch my kids grow up. But you know, to know that when you go to heaven, it's so awesome that you're able to ignore that feelings. I mean, you know, but see, and that's, like I said, the joy of the Lord, but we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have joy in the Lord. You know, it's, and so many people, I think that a lot of Christians are, they feel that they're in wait mode. They're just sitting here waiting. Well, I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, then someone writes a book, you know, about the Lord's coming back. Oh, yeah. You know, and some people, you know, I know different things. You know, you realize that I don't know how many, I've lost track of count of end of the world experiences that I've gone through. This, you know, the Mayan calendar wasn't the one end of the year. The Y2K was the end of, you know, there's all these experiences I've gone to life where people said it was going to be the end of the world. I just thank God I wasn't like some people and charge my credit cards up or whatever, you know, because the Lord's coming back tomorrow, you know, and well, I guess it was this year. Remember we had, or last year, we had the four moons and stuff, and the Lord's coming back in September and, yeah, or whenever. And then can people come back and say, well, we made a mistake. It's going to be next time or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I actually told myself I was in high school and I think it was 87 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 1987 or something like that, with the bestseller afterwards, 88 reasons why he's coming in 88. But what I told myself, if I was ever going to write a book or anything else predicting the Lord's going to come back, I would make sure it would be, you know, like, you know, I would have to be like 153 or something like that, or, you know, make probably more than my lifetime. So that way I wasn't the idiot that had to live the rest of my life. That's the guy that wrote that book. Yeah, 25 years ago, he wrote that book. And, you know, but some people are able to write books and then they come back and write another big bestseller book 3 years later and don't even say that they messed up. They just keep going on. So I don't know. This is Craig's thought life. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be sharing my thought life with some of you guys. But, you know, you don't have to wait till the end of the world to be joyful. And, you know, and I get it. So, I mean, sometimes we go through experiences, we feel like we're going through the end of the world. But you know what? Jesus paid it all for us. So that we can have joy in the middle of whatever we're going through. You know, and I get it. I mean, you know, sometimes we have our weak moments. But make sure they're only a moment. And not for an eternity. Not for a long time. You know, Proverbs 17:22, I'm just going to read it. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know what? You should keep a merry heart. In fact, my grandfather said he read a story of how they actually took some people who were going through some depression and going through some stuff, and they, you know, they gave one group of people some medicine. They gave the other group of people, and they actually put them in a room every day, and they watched like movies like the Three Stooges and things to make you laugh, and they found out that the people who were laughed did as good as people on medicine. some kind of endorphins and all kinds of stuff that your body actually produces. So, I mean, I know it's in the Bible, but I say it's true to life, really based on science. A merry heart doeth good thy medicine. You know what? Being happy, being joyful is a good thing. But it says, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. When you feel worthless and all this stuff, you just keep getting worse and worse and worse. But you have to understand, when those times come, look on Jesus. Make him the center of your life. Now, I want to go to John chapter 15, John the 15th chapter. And this is Jesus, and this is, put things in perspective. This is right before that he was crucified on the cross, and he was talking to his disciples and kind of preparing them to be ready for this. And he says, these things, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. So I always, this is a scripture where Jesus says you need to be full of it. You're going to be full of my joy. All right. And what he says, that my joy may remain in you, but he's not saying that you should have human joy, you should have my joy. His joy, the joy of the Lord, that is your strength. That gets you by. And that is, knowing what Jesus said and doing what Jesus would do. Thus we had the WWJD movement. But most people don't think about that whenever they're facing tough times. They're not thinking about what would Jesus do in this situation. Those situations, I think, what did Jesus do? Not what would he do, what did he do? What did he do for you? What did he do for me? And understand that because of what he did, he gave us the power and the authority, and that we can have the joy of the Lord. Because we know that whatever we ask in his name, he'll do it. In fact, while I'm getting ahead of myself, John chapter 16, John 16, it says, John 16, 22 says, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. So you have rejoy. And your joy no one can take from you, because it's not natural human joy, it's my joy. Do you realize the devil can't take your joy away from you? Now, he can make you forget about your joy and forget about the joy that you have, but he can't take it away from you. And that's the deal. We can take our own joy away from us through listening, through our situations, through going through, different situations. We take our own joy away from us because the joy belongs to us. That joy belongs to me. It was Jesus Christ came and he died so that I might have joy. And not just, he doesn't want me just to have a little bit of joy. He wants me to be full of joy. Full of joy, that's why I'm always excited all the time. That's why I'm always happy. That's why, I don't have bad days. I understand we all have bad moments, but I don't have bad days. All right? Now, And the thing about it, if you're having a lot of bad days, you need to get over yourself. And you need to decide, I'm going to quit having bad days. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for me to have a bad day. He died on the cross so I can have life and have it more abundantly. Not so I can have a bad day or a bad year or even a bad moment. He didn't want us to come for a bad moment. He wants us to, he came that we might have joy. And joy ever exceeding. Exceedingly joy, better than we can ask or think. Now that's interesting. It says more than you can ask or think. So as much as you can think, Jesus wants you to have more. And that's pretty. But it goes on to say this. It says, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked me nothing. You have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. If there's something you need to have joy, just ask. If there's something that needs to happen, something needs to change, some situation needs to go, then ask, and I'll do it for you. Ask in my name. That your joy, see, the reason we ask is so that we can rejoice and we can have joy, that our joy may still be full up. You know, so you know, that there are times, like I said, we have moments, not days, not weeks, not months or years. We have bad moments, and we have a bad moment, then we need to realize that I need to ask the Lord to help me get through this bad moment. I overanalyze stuff, and so maybe you don't. That's why I'm on Google 24/7. I'll see a news story and I'll start Googling about something, and then I'll find another Google thing, and I'll search for all this stuff. I don't even need to know the information. I just was interested. I was an inquiring mind. You know, I just wanted to know. I'd like to know, but you know, we're having a bad moment. We're having a bad day, you know, but we need to remember, you know what, that Jesus didn't come for me to have a bad day. He wants me to have joy. He wants me to be full of joy, and whatever I need, whatever it's going to take for me to have joy again, then I'm going to ask the Lord to help me have that. And he's going to give it to me because he wants me to be happy. See, I think a lot of Christians think that, you know, God's punishing you right now, but soon and very soon you're going to go to heaven and God won't punish you anymore. He's not punishing you. He sent Jesus so we can have life and have it more abundantly. That's not punishing. You know, God loves you so much. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants you to be happy. Many people decide, well, I'm just suffering through this life by and by, so one fine day it's going to be okay. No, you don't have to suffer through life. Jesus suffered so you don't have to suffer. You know, and I get it. I mean, you know, there's been bad theology and bad this. And then some people think, well, you know, I've done all these bad things, so, you know, the Lord just wants me to suffer, not have a whole lot, so I can be humble or whatever. I don't care how many, you know, do you realize that there are a lot of people who did a lot of bad things, including the Apostle Paul? If you look at his former life, whenever he was named Saul, before Paul, he did a lot of bad things. He had people killed. How many people have you had killed? I mean, you know, I'm assuming no one's going to raise their hand to have killed anybody here. Maybe a few of you were at war, and maybe a few people died because of the result of your gun, you know, and I understand that's a bad thing. But Paul wasn't killing people who were trying to kill him. He was killing people who were preaching the gospel. He had authority, you know, and it doesn't sound like he was actually the one throwing the stones and stuff. He was the one telling people to do it. So which, that's even worse. You know, a lot of times, people, I was just following orders. Your military, I'm just following orders. I'm just doing what I'm ordered to do. I know one of our pastors, I asked him, I said, you spend any time in the Middle East whenever you were in the army? I can't remember what he was, lieutenant colonel or something like that. I guess lieutenant colonel wouldn't be an army, would it? He was a high-ranking officer, and he said, well, officially I was never in the Middle East, but I did spend time in Bahrain, but I wasn't really there because it's not in my record anywhere, but I was there. He says, if anyone says they're there, then they're probably, doing undercover stuff. But basically, his job was that, you know, at that time we didn't have as many drones and things like that, but his job was to give the command to fire to destroy enemy targets. And so he would give the command there, and they're all watching via TV, television set or whatever. And he said the first time that they fired upon the target, and said everyone started cheering and stuff like that, you know, when all the bombs come in. A lot of times, you know, sometimes it was missiles, sometimes it was, you know, they would squadron or whatever come and bomb, and said everyone would cheer. And then he said, no, he said, don't cheer. We just sent a bunch of people to hell. So I asked him, I said, well, it must've been tough from, doing that. Did you ever have trouble? He said, no, I never had trouble. First of all, every mission that we did, I felt it needed to happen. I felt that we tried to not kill civilians as best as possible. We tried to limit our casualties or whatever, and I felt that they were all needed to do. But even if I didn't, he said, I'm just following an order. you know, I swore an oath to follow an order. I mean, so he said, I never had trouble, but it is. I mean, I did feel. I understand that a lot of people died and go to hell, and it's really hard being a Christian knowing that you're trying to win people's souls and you send them to hell. But you know, so it was a trying time for me as a Christian. He said, but I knew I was following order, and I felt we were doing the right thing, you know. But the thing about it is, you're not killing people. But even if you did, Jesus still loves you. And that doesn't mean you have to suffer the rest of your life. You know, Paul didn't have to suffer. I mean, you know, Paul did a lot of bad things. But you know what? He said that he's going to finish his course with joy. Well, in order to finish it with joy, you have to have joy along your course. All right? And, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'll have joy sometime. When you die? You know, I've seen some Christians. In fact, there are some people that I don't want to ask how they're doing because I don't want to hear. They're just complaining all the time. But, you know, if the joy of the Lord is really our strength, how can we complain all the time? Because whatever we need, he'll do it for us so that we can have joy. You know, and a few other scriptures. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So it says rejoice in the Lord all the time and keep rejoicing. It's interesting that it says it that way because it implies that we should be happy all the time. Amen. And still happy. So, you know, in this kind of verse, that Paul was trying to emphasize, hey, be happy all the time. And again, I say, he said it twice because he wants you to understand you should be happy all the time. No matter what's going on, rejoice in the Lord always, because you know what? Ultimately, everything's going to be okay. Keep your perspective. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice meaning the same feeling that you had whenever you got saved, the same feeling that you had when your life changed or whatever. Think about whatever, some things that's happened in your life that you were so happy about, and you should be like that. I mean, it's interesting, you know, if we, like Greg was saying about his wife. I mean, you know, how he would wait there for a long time to talk to his wife. And sometimes we're not the same way with God. We don't value our relationship as much with God as we do with people. You know, sometimes we take it for granted, but we should rejoice and be glad and be happy because the joy of the Lord is our strength because we can. I mean, think about that. I mean, I always think about perspective. What about people who don't know this? You know, I don't feel sorry for Christians, and maybe they have bad theology or whatever. But you know, you have the Bible that you can go to. I feel sorry for people who don't know this, that they can rejoice. They don't have Jesus. That's who I feel sorry for. I mean, we can rejoice all the time, and it doesn't matter what's going on. We can keep rejoicing. 1 John 1:4 says this. You know, this is the first part of John. He was writing his epistles or whatever. And he says, in these things we write, meaning, you know, I think not just this scripture or these things, but all the stuff that are written to the Christians. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. That's why, you know, if we need joy, get a hold of the word. There's so many words. There's so many. I mean, I'm only reading a few scriptures about joy, but there's so many scriptures on joy and how, you know, that we should have joy. And it's interesting that one of the last things that Jesus told his disciples was that, you know, that I want my joy to remain with you. And that's not just for his disciples, folks. That's for you. He wants his joy to remain with you always. And he don't want you to be partially full of joy. He doesn't want you to be halfway full, you know, where you're teetering, tottering up and down, you know, but he wants you to be completely full. You know, sometimes, especially if you've been having some money crunches or whatever, it feels good to have a full tank of gas, especially if your tank's been on empty for a long time, or I should say fuel, you know, because maybe you have a diesel automobile like I do, you know, but you know, I know that's one reason, and I love my truck, that Audi I have. It's a diesel, and it gets like 30 miles in a gallon. When I fill up, I can get 500 miles on a full tank. And so, you know, it's nice, you know, you can go a long way, you know, 500 miles. So 3 days later, I fill up again. I'm just kidding. Sometimes it is that way, though. Sometimes I do drive quite a bit. But you know, it just sometimes feels good. You have a full tank. But, you know, how much better is to have if you have a full tank of joy? You know, but how much better to think about having a full tank and your tank never getting empty? I mean, think about being able to drive, you know, and never have to fill up. You say, well, yeah, that's why I have an electric car. But you know what? You have an electric car. You still have to fill. You still have to put juice in it. You still have to recharge it. I mean, you know, but what Jesus is saying is that I want my joy to be, I want you to be full all the time. So that you always can have 500 miles and you have 500 more miles. I mean, you know, it never runs out. You have an infinity. I mean, you know, and he wants you to be like that because the reason you can be like that is because he came, because he died, because he rose again, because he sent the right hand side of the Father, because his spirit lived with you, and because you can renew your mind and you can think like he thinks. And that we can have joy, not just in the morning, we can have joy all day long because our joy is always full. And you know, if our joy is really always full, we don't even have moments. You know, wouldn't it be good to get ourselves in such a perspective we don't have moments? That doesn't mean, we don't feel bad because someone passed away or whatever. You know, but you know, we understand that it's all going to be okay. Understand, you know, it's all going to work out. It doesn't matter. I'm going to leave you off with one of the scriptures I really like a lot. James 1:2, and James telling us, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It doesn't say it's going to be joyful. It says count it as joy. You know, and that's the thing. Many people are upset because they said, well, I'm not having a joyful time. No, the joy is not your personal joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It says he rejoices in spite of situations. You know, it doesn't matter. Like I just said, using the Super Bowl for an illustration, it doesn't matter how far you're behind. 3 touchdowns, and it seems impossible. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, but there are times in life that we have felt like Tom Brady did whenever he was put his head down. You know, but the difference in what he did, and not just Tom, it was a whole team, understand, but him being the leader of the team, you know, understand, you know, it's one thing to be down, another thing to be finished. You know, when I think about that, and I talked to our young adults the other day about that moment, my Super Bowl sermon. I mean, you know, think about that. You know, he could have, at that moment, I personally believe, and many people have seen that on the internet or whatever, you've seen that where he's sitting on the bench and his head's down, and some people have said, I want to pray the same prayer that he prayed, and things like that. But, you know, at that moment, I believe it was that moment. It was that very moment he had to decide whether he's going to lead the team. I felt, you know, even if he wouldn't have won the game, or the team wouldn't have won, he at least knew that he was going to give it everything he had. You know, he had to decide, because you realize he's already had about Super Bowl rings. Do you realize if he would have said, you know what, I guess it's Atlanta's year. I mean, at that moment, he had to decide, you know, we're going to be probably back next year anyway. We'll win next year. Except Dallas is going to play us next year, and they're probably going to beat us. But no. Anyway, I mean, you know, the way that the Patriots have in the last few years, I mean, you know, it's only 1 or 2 years, and they're back in Super Bowl again, and they're usually winning it again. You know, even when they have the right inflation of the balls. It's interesting. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, that's one of the greatest comebacks ever. But at some point, you know, he never quit. And when I say he is not missing him, it's the whole team. I mean, it was a whole team effort. You know, they never quit. And, you know, but how many times do we know that we can have joy? And we know but we just sometimes just stop because we're so overwhelmed. You know, if you ever get to the point where you're sitting there and like, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And, you know, and at that point, obviously, Tom Brady, you could tell he was overwhelmed. But you have to make it a moment. I get it. Sometimes the devil comes and he overwhelms you for a moment. But at some point in time, you're deciding, you know what? I'm not going to let it get me down. Doesn't matter. I'm 3 touchdowns behind. Doesn't matter. I mean, you know, how far I'm behind. You realize, I mean, they were like 16 points down with 9 minutes left to go in the game. and you know, figuring being football math, it doesn't work. I mean, you realize that they only had converted 1 2-point conversion the whole season this year. And they converted 2 in a row. And, you know, it's one thing to convert 2 in a row when, and they know that the other team knows you have to get it. I mean, you know, they know what they're doing, and they know that, you know, it's, you know, sometimes people go for 2, it's like, well, you know, later on I might need that extra point. You know, right now it's okay, but, you know, but it was an amazing effort. But sometimes we just, you know, we go through times or whatever, and we forget about Jesus when our tribulation comes. Now, interesting that the New Living Translation says it like this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, so he includes not just brethren, but sisters as well. When trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. See, it's an opportunity whether you're going to have joy or not have joy. You have to decide, I'm going to take the opportunity to have the joy of the Lord, even when trouble comes my way. You know, and that's what that's what it comes down to. So many people, when they think about the joy of the Lord, they think about joy. It's all great when everything's great. But most people that I know don't think about joy, and the joy of the Lord is their strength, all this stuff, when things are just going crummy. But that's when you really need it. You know what? You don't really have to have the joy of the Lord when everything is going great, and you know, it seems like nothing you can do is everything you touch turns to gold, and everything's going great, no problem. You know, and yeah, you have the joy of the Lord, but you don't even think about it. But you need to think about the joy of the Lord when things are going crummy, when everything's against you, when it seems that there's no way you're going to make it through. And see, and it doesn't matter how many touchdowns you're behind, you know, how you know what you need and what the time on the score is, what the scoreboard is. Ultimately, you need to understand that you're victorious through Christ Jesus. The Bible already says that. It already tells you that you're a winner, not a loser. You're above and not beneath. You know, we were listening on the way here, listening to the song, you know, about what a beautiful name it is, on the name of Jesus. And in there it says, you have no rival. You have no equal. You understand, the devil is not really our rival. I mean, you know, when you think about different movies you watch, and you always see villains and superheroes, and everyone has a rival, and they're kind of on the same thing. The devil is underneath Jesus. He's not his rival. I mean, but see, we have a rivalry with the devil, but we don't understand that Jesus, the name of Jesus, is greater the alligator teeth than anything you put, including the devil. Everything is under his name. The Bible says that demons have to tremble when you mention the name of Jesus. You know, and that's where our joy is in the Lord, because you know what? We know ultimately you win. You know how, you know, it's always a great feeling. I mean, you get this sometimes whenever you're playing a board game or a card game or whatever, whenever it looks like you're going to lose and end up winning, it's kind of funny. I mean, I like, like the game of Monopoly, which takes forever, but usually Monopoly, I don't care how bad it is, I usually always end up winning. You know, in fact, I actually, I've made bad trades to take bad properties and still end up winning, you know, because I'm like, well, I gotta have a monopoly somehow, some way, in order for you to land on it or whatever. So I'm gonna make a trade. I'm gonna give you Boardwalk, you know, for some kind of, you know, lame property, because I need to make money, you know. But it's strategy. But the thing about it is, here's the deal. This different in a game or whatever. You don't have to have the strategy. Jesus already does it for you. And that's the deal. You don't have to figure out how you have joy. You don't have to figure out how it's going to work. You just say, you know what, I'm putting it in your hands. This is what I need. This is how I need. This is what I need to have joy. This is what I need to make it through it. Lord, this is what I need. Now, don't tell the Lord, well, Lord, cause so-and-so to do it. It's not about that person. Jesus, I mean, you know, they have, there's plenty of folks that can help you out. Just put your trust in the Lord. Like I said, lean not to your own understanding, but put your trust in the Lord and all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You know, you can have joy when it seems not really joyful because you know who is the creator of joy. And I get it. I mean, you know, a lot of times people talk to me, they don't talk about the moments, but we all have moments. I have moments, you have moments. And the deal is, it's getting over your bad moment and making sure that that moment doesn't last for a long time. Because like I said, Tom Brady at that moment, he had to decide, am I going to keep trying or am I just going to back off? And we've all seen games, we've seen Super Bowls and other sporting events where the one team just backed off. Quit trying. You know, we're just going to lose. But, you know, but what we have the advantage because we know that we win. Amen. We know that we win. And that's why we can have joy. But that's why Jesus needs to be the center of our life so he can be the center of our joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that the next time that one of us have one of these moments, bad moments or whatever, that you'll help us to understand that we can have joy in the middle of the bad moment. We have an opportunity to have joy or not to have joy, but we can have joy and we can be excited even when it seems that things are not going good because we know that our trust is in you. And we thank you, Father, for these fine folks and we thank you, Father, for helping them. But Father God, also help us to learn to take the word that we know and help others whenever we see them going through their moments, when we see them down, whenever we see, you know, whether it be our friends or whether it be somebody that, you know, our virtual friends on the computer or whatever, when we know they're having a bad time, help us to be able to share the love of Jesus with them and help them understand, you know what, don't lose your joy because it's not your joy. It's his joy that's remaining in you and help us to be full of joy all the time. And we just thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so I can't have that joy. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I know what it is to have the joy of the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back. I've walked away from him, and I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life to God tonight. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here, is it doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis and help them understand how awesome God is and help them understand, you know, what Jesus has done for them. And we thank you for bringing laborers across their path and that they will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go tonight, if there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, if you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We don't want you to go home sick. We want you to be well, amen. I know the flu's been going around and different things like the people haven't been feeling good. You know what? There's no reason to have the flu. There's no reason to feel miserable because Jesus is the answer to your situation, amen. Praise God. Dave, just lift both hands toward the Lord and just close your eyes and think about Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God flowing into Dave's body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. In the name of, oh, there it is. That's it, Cindy. That's it. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, like I said, if you can make it to Tulsa this week, we're having a wonderful time this week. They started tonight. But if you can't, you can join us online or maybe some of you work during the daytime and you can't watch some services. We archive them and have them available later on. You can watch them. Amen. But if you can make it there, we're having a wonderful time. People are coming from all over the world to come experience God's presence this week. At Winter Bible Seminar. All right. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you, and we have some gift for you. So you can. Do we have any visitors tonight? All right. She'll take you and has a gift for you. Don't forget the way we dismiss around here. You know, they'll sing a song. It'll give me time to go back to the door. I'll be at that door. If you don't want to shut my hand, you can go to that door. I do want to say this. I mean, you know, someone groaned today when Greg said that there are no tickets available for the game coming up. There are tickets available at the arena. They haven't sold out, all right? I mean, it's not a sellout. All right. And so maybe if you can get with Greg and find out, you know, what section we're sitting in, if it was like it normally is, there's a good chance you might go buy a ticket and move and sit by us, you know, or sit close to us or whatever. So if you just really want to go, I mean, you know, it's okay. I mean, I know that, you know, there are tickets available. Huh? Oh. If you just really want to go and you want to pay like three times the amount and making sure I get the money. No. If you really go, you can talk to Greg and he might be able to swing something to get you in that same section. All right. Well, bless God. Take care. We'll see you next week.